Well, this is cool. I just want to say two things quickly. First is it's really good to be here, and great to see so many people that were such a big part of our life. Second thing is we went here for 30-some years, and I don't think anyone ever said to me that I looked good. And within 5 or 10 minutes of being in this building today, I think 5 or 6 people told me I look good. So I've come to an evidence-based conclusion that a stem cell transplant and chemotherapy has made me much more handsome. So you can draw your own conclusions. Not long ago, I did a piece of writing about how we all live our life on a fault line, or more importantly, on multiple fault lines. I think Peter Mahaffey spoke about that 2 weeks ago when he spoke of a fault line and used the words mourning and dancing in the same sentence. And I'm not special. Each one of you could tell stories in your life where there was a fracture that appeared in the solid ground underneath you. For Kathy and I, the last almost 5 years has been lived on a major fault line. The diagnosis of an incurable cancer in 2018 shook our foundations. And you'll probably remember in those early days, we were barely able to hang on. We remember a day in June. It was about 20-some days into hospitalization. They couldn't get the pain under control. Kathy was weary from bedside vigils. I was affected by painkillers and pain. And we were listening to the somber conversation through the curtain with the man in the bed next to mine who was at the end of his myeloma journey. They were talking about how he might die. And as we listened, we all of a sudden wondered whether we were at the end of our journey. And we needed someone at that point to hold the faith that we couldn't hold in God. We made a few phone calls, didn't get answered until finally Dolores answered the phone and she dropped what she was doing and took a taxi to the University Hospital, and she stood with Kathy and I on that fault line. Her presence was the presence of God that we had not been able to find. And we needed her and we needed you during the next months to join us on the jagged ground that had opened under our feet. And slowly, very slowly, we began to find God in the middle of our grief. Life on the fault line began to be this mixture of a growing awareness of God's presence and then the tremors that came, the tremors with each relapse and with constant chemotherapy, tremors from the loss of vocation, tremors from no longer being able to be the wrestle on the floor, jump on the trampoline grandpa that I wanted to be. There were tremors that came again with the pandemic, and we couldn't share fully in our kids' lives. There was an aftershock in May of 2022 when it became clear that a full remission from the clinical trial that I was taking part in simply wasn't going to happen. The stress that Kathy had bottled up as she so lovingly walked along that fault line with me couldn't be contained. She hit a wall and she too needed medical care. Another fault line. And from where we stand now, we see that the fault lines go on ahead. The most difficult days of our journey are likely yet to come. It's frightening and unsettling. My options for treatment are drastically narrowing. Remissions, if achievable, are shorter. To be honest, right now we're living these days hoping that my current state of health can last into July when we have a family reunion planned. and we number our days, knowing that in as little as 18 months, this fault line may have a major fracture. Yet mysteriously and graciously, in each of these things, we stubbornly become aware of God's presence. As Peter shared, it wasn't and it isn't a single morning to dancing moment. It was and is morning to dancing, to morning, to dancing, to morning with dancing, and dancing with morning. It's life on a fault line. There's constant collisions between flourishing and floundering, between delight and despair, between gratitude and grief. The gracious opening of our eyes to God's presence has mysteriously brought a lot of healing to us. Our cancer is not gone, but as part of the reversal that Christ brings, we have experienced the healing that comes when we let go of the idea that we ever were in control of our lives. We learn with the psalmist to number our days. And then there's the healing that lowers the volume of those voices that would say to us, God has abandoned you. Healing that allows us to hear that still small voice that says, you are my beloved. We're learning to see God's grace in the beauty of our neighbors and our friends and the surroundings in Lacombe. We are shedding the last remnants of the prosperity gospel and finding that we can flourish and live with terminal cancer. They're not mutually exclusive. And though there's grief over losing abilities and opportunities to contribute to communities like this, we're slowly being transformed to know that we don't live to do things for God. But this Lenten season, God reminds us that God yearns for us to live with Him, to be who we're created to be like Jesus. And Jesus is definitely no stranger to fault lines. The Almighty God having his diaper changed by a young refugee woman, his mother. Completely human, completely divine, completely human. Perfect, punished. Innocent, on him was laid the iniquities of us all. Eternal, but dying. Christ willingly chose life on fault lines to reverse the curse that sin brought to creation, the creation that he had loved into existence. So people of God, may our hearts made fragile by life's circumstances, by the fractured earth beneath our feet, may we know the heart of God this Easter, a heart that hurts and breaks for us, while at the same time offering us healing and rest. A heart that knows well, full well, life on a fault line. And may God give us the courage this Lent, in the words of Anne Voskamp, to listen with our whole heart to the tick of God's timing, rather than march to the loud beat of our own fears. Friends, may our Lenten prayer be one we learn to pray with Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done.